Today we're on the fourth president of the United States, Mr. James Madison. And we've been starting out with these fun facts as we've been learning more about the presidents in this election year. And so let me give some of those to you. Madison was introduced to his wife Dolly, if you remember Dolly Madison, that name. But he was introduced to his wife Dolly by Aaron Burr. He had been the one that was staying at the Payne boarding house in Philadelphia. And her name was, she was a young widow at that time, Dolly Payne Todd. And there had been an asking of Burr to arrange an introduction, and the rest of that is history. And Madison and Burr were Princeton classmates. He had graduated one year before Burr. And but there was a 17-year difference in age between James and Dolly. The couple dated for just about 4 months before their marriage in 1794. James was 43 years old and Dolly was 26. He did not fight in the Revolutionary War. He was small in stature and sometimes sickly. He served briefly in the Virginia militia and then entered politics at a young age. He was also the youngest delegate at the 1780 Continental Congress in Philadelphia. He actually was really the father of the Constitution. He arrived 11 days early for the event, presented his Virginia plan of checks and balances at the foundation of the Constitution, and then he worked tirelessly to get that the Constitution ratified. And toward the end of his life, he's very modest. He said the Constitution ought to be regarded as the work of many heads and many hands. He actually wasn't very keen on writing a Bill of Rights at first. He feared that actually listing individual rights in the Constitution would possibly limit other unlisted rights. He had a change of heart when it became apparent that a Bill of Rights was needed to get the Constitution ratified. And so during the first Congress, Madison presented the first draft of the bill, which he had written. It had 9 articles with 20 amendments. He actually retired for about 4 years at the height of his political powers. He had served in the House for 8 years. He walked away from national politics in March of 1797 and returned to his estate. But Madison, along with his mentor, Thomas Jefferson, had formed an opposition party of the Federalists. And in 1798, Madison wrote the Virginia Resolution, and that was in opposition to the Alien and Sedition Acts during that time off. His likeness actually does or did appear on U.S. currency. If you have a Madison in your wallet, it is a very rare $5,000 bill. Now, some are still in circulation, but a bill in very good condition went for more than $100,000 at an auction in 2010. We really don't know what he liked to eat. The biographers know a lot more about the meals that Dolly Madison served at social functions. One theory is Madison liked Virginia ham, but he only weighed about 100 pounds and stood about 5'4". And lastly, he is a man of few hobbies. Unlike George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, who had many things that they were pursuing outside of their work, Madison stuck with playing chess and reading Latin and Greek literature in their original languages. Well, as we continue looking at the spiritual aspects of the different presidents here, we come to Madison. And Thomas Jefferson had formed this strong ally in religious liberty causes that we're still blessed with today. One of his most famous nicknames is that he was the father of the Constitution. And we find in the book, The Faith of the Presidents by John M. Wiley, the First Amendment ended up saying, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. But the original draft from Madison stated, the civil rights of none shall be abridged on account of religious belief or worship, nor shall any national religion be established. So these are similar, but the latter seems to emphasize the individual religious liberty of citizens. And back in 1776, when Madison served as a state legislator in Virginia, a debate was up for grabs for the wording of the Virginia Declaration of Rights. Whereas some pushed for fullest toleration among religious entities, Madison successfully pursued his fellow lawmakers to rewrite the bill to say free exercise of religion. And so there were religious minorities at the time that were in Virginia, that they should not merely be tolerated, Madison submitted, but granted rights to the free exercise of their religion. There's a famous biographer of Madison. His name is Ralph Ketchum. In his book, James Madison, he writes this: there's no principle in all of Madison's wide range of private opinions and long public career to which he held with greater vigor and tenacity than this one of religious liberty. So as we think about that today, what we're blessed with, that version from Madison, it's not simply be that Christians, which were from a wide variety of denominational stripes and other religious groups, would be allowed to exist, but to freely live out their values and beliefs as well. Gary Wills, in his book, James Madison, expounds on this a little bit more. He says, Madison's views on religious freedom are the inspiration for all that was best in his later political thought. This was the first subject to which he devoted his prodigious capacity for research and reflection. But private study was not the only factor in this brilliant legislative debut. In this case, his position grew out of actualist experience, unlike some of his later schemes. The time at Princeton had disturbed one crucial aspect of his provincialism. He had seen the difference between Presbyterian divines in New Jersey and Anglican priests in Virginia. And some modern critics of Madison's separation of church from state think it as a secular position, one that somehow downgrades or disables religion. On the contrary, he observed the greater sincerity of religious practice under conditions of freedom. This became a touchstone for him of all of the blessings of freedom in general. It was a religious insight before it was a political one. And his view has been vindicated in the history of the United States. Under our system, which separates church and state, religion has flourished more than in any modern industrialized society. And so we have Madison to thank for that. Now, as Wiley goes on, he says that Madison's personal religious views are a little more elusive. Some cite that Madison became less religious in his later years, but in his early 20s, Madison wrote to a friend, William Bradford, saying this: a watchful eye must be kept on ourselves, lest while we are building ideal monuments of renown and bliss here, we neglect to have our names enrolled in the annals of heaven, end of quote. So it's hard not to appreciate that advice. And 2 Peter 1:10 says, after all, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Or in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. So Madison even wrote that he hoped to see others, part of his rising generation, become fervent advocates in the cause of Christ. So there's a perplexion that goes on with historians by whether or not Madison lost his fervency for spiritual aspects as he grew older, or if he just decided not to write anything down about his personal views concerning that. He was obviously occupied in the realm of writing with political and governmental pursuits. And so we can say this, that we can be thankful for James Madison's noble pursuits in securing religious freedom and attentively ponder the religious considerations of Madison as well.